Hi, this is Pastor Bill Woods, and I wanted to talk to you today about when we face problems, and sometimes they overwhelm us, or they practically do, but I want you to know God uses problems for His glory. I heard a horrible problem several years ago. Actually, I was pastoring in Deer Valley Church, the Nazarene, and one of the Nazarene churches down there, a family decided that they were going to go to Mexico and enjoy a vacation down there. And old grandma wanted to go too. She said, "I've always wanted to go to Mexico, and I've never been able to get there." And so they put her in the car and took her to Mexico. Well, unfortunately, she died while she was down there, had a heart attack and just died. And that left a real problem for them because they didn't know how they were going to get her across the border. It'd take a lot of red tape, a lot of work, and a lot of expense. And so they came up with an idea. They bought a big rug, and they rolled her in it, kind of like a taco, I guess, or something, and how she was rolled inside the rug. They tied it on top of the car, and they headed for the border. On the way to the border, they decided to stop at a restaurant and get something to eat. And so they were in eating, and then when they came out, they found that somebody had stolen the carpet off the top of the car. Oh man, what a dilemma, you know, and I don't know how they could solve that. But I do wonder sometimes, you know, how the people that stole the carpet must have felt when they unrolled it and found Grandma in there. And it was a very unique situation, and they never did find Grandma. So I guess, you know, because she was a Christian, God took care of her. And I guess one of the blessings was there was not all the funeral expense and stuff. Well, anyhow, Psalms chapter 34, verses 17 to 18 in the New King James Version, it says, "The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears and delivers them out of their troubles. The Lord is near to those who have broken heart and saves such as have a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all." You know, everybody has problems. They're universal. We can't escape them in this life. Main problem, though, is sin. If it wasn't for sin, there would probably be a horrible amount of less problems. Many people try to solve their problems all by themselves. Others look for help from their friends or professionals that are counselors. God is the supreme problem solver, and I want you to know God never fails. He knows exactly what you need, and if you call upon Him, He will help you and give you strength for what you face or help you to find the answer, but His will is always right. Chuck Swindoll said, "Every problem is an opportunity to prove God's power. Every day we encounter countless golden opportunities, brilliantly disguised as insurmountable problems. The problems you face will either defeat you or develop you, depending on how you respond to them." Unfortunately, most people can't see how God wants to use problems for good in their lives. Romans 8:28 says, "And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose." People react foolishly and resent their problems rather than consider what benefit they might be bringing. Fires, floods, earthquakes, tsunamis, all these are problems to point us back to God. According to the Bureau of Standards in Washington, D.C., a dense fog covering seven city blocks to the depth of 100 feet is composed of less than one glass of water. That amount of water is divided into about 60 billion tiny droplets, and yet when those minute particles settle over a city or the countryside, they can almost blot out everything from your sight. Many Christians today live their lives in a fog. They allow a cup full of troubles to cloud their vision and dampen their spirit. Anxiety, turmoil, and defeat strangle their thoughts. Their lives are being choked by the cares of this world. 2 Timothy 1:7 said, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." Let's not let the fog get us down. Let's live in the sunshine. Now, here are five ways God wants to use problems in your life. One, God uses problems to direct you. Sometimes God must light a fire under you to get you moving. Problems often point us in a new direction and motivate us to change. Is God trying to get your attention? You know, sometimes it takes a painful situation to make us change our ways. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 30 says, blows that hurt cleanse away evil, as do stripes the inner depths of the heart. Any good gardener knows beautiful roses require careful pruning. Pieces of the living plant have to die. The rose bush can't just grow wild. We can't simply celebrate growth. It's tragic that we've lost the insight that growth in Christ requires careful pruning. Pieces of us by our intentional action need to die if we're to become the person that's in God's vision. We're not cutting away a cancerous growth, but making room for intended growth. Then God uses problems to inspect you. People are like tea bags. If you want to know what's inside them, just put them in hot water. I know people have said to me several times in my career, how come are you always in so much hot water? And I tell them, I don't get into hot water. I'm the one who keeps the water hot. Has God ever tested your faith with a problem? What do problems reveal about you? In James chapter 1, verses 2 and 3, my brothers, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. We need our relationship with God and our relationship with the Christian family and God's church to survive. We can't just go it on our own. Craig Brian Larson told of the times when the world watched three gray whales icebound off of Point Barrow, Alaska, floating battered and bloody, gasping for breath at a single hole in the ice. Their only hope was to somehow be directed 5 miles past the ice pack to the open sea. Whales are mammals and breathe air into their lungs just like humans. A lot of people don't know that. They cannot breathe underwater like fish do, as they do not have gills. Instead, they breathe through nostrils called a blowhole, which is located right on top of their heads. So, like humans, whales need to come to the surface to take a deep breath of fresh air, and when they are underwater, they hold their breath. To try to save these stranded whales, the rescuers began cutting a string of breathing holes about 20 yards apart in the 6-inch thick ice. For 8 days, they coaxed the whales from one hole to the next, mile after mile. Along the way, one of the whales vanished and was presumed dead. But finally, with the help of a Russian icebreaker, the whales Putu and Siku swam to freedom. In a way, worship is a string of breathing holes that the Lord provides for his people. Battered and bruised in a world frozen over with greed, selfishness, and hatred, we rise for air in church, a place to breathe again, to be loved and encouraged until that day when our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ forever shatters the ice cap. Then God uses problems to correct you. Some lessons we learn only through pain and failure. When you were a child, your parents probably told you not to touch a hot stove or you'd get burnt, but you probably learned by going ahead and touching it and being burned. They were right. Sometimes we only learn the value of something, health, money, a relationship, by losing it. There was a lady I read about that had neuropathy, and she was she had a shower curtain hook in her shoe. She walked on it all day and didn't know she had the problem until she removed her shoe and saw it had worked through her toe. I've had neuropathy in the past, and it's very miserable. You can't feel a lot of things. Psalms 119, verses 71 to 72, it is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I may learn your statutes. The law of your mouth is better to me than thousands of coins of gold and silver. And then God uses problems to protect you. A problem can be a blessing in disguise if it keeps you from being harmed by something more serious. Last year, A man was fired for refusing to do something unethical that his boss asked him to do. Losing his job was a problem. He didn't know how he was going to get by, but it saved him from being convicted and sent to prison a year later when management's actions were discovered. It's kind of like, you know, you intended to harm me, but God intended it for good. In Genesis chapter 50, verse 20, we hear Joseph saying to his brothers, "But as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good in order to bring it about as it is this day, to save many people." Again, I'm sure you recognize that was Joseph and what he said to his brothers when he finally identified who he was. Then number five, God uses problems to perfect you. Problems, when we respond correctly, are character builders. God's more interested in your character than your comfort. I hear people say, "Well, God wants me happy." No, God's not as concerned about that as he is concerned about God wants you obedient. If you're obedient, you'll find the things that God has for you, and that will bring happiness. But God is not really that bent on just making you happy. He wants you to build your character, obey him. Your relationship to God and your character are the only two things that you will take with you into eternity. Romans chapter 5, verses 3 and 4, and not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. When problems come, we need to turn them to God and shake it off, whatever will defeat us. I know that I've used this illustration several times. I don't know if I used it on the podcast or not, but it is something that I really find inspiring. A farmer owned an old mule that fell into the farmer's well. The farmer heard the mule braying, or whatever mules do when they fall into wells. After carefully assessing the situation, the farmer sympathized with the mule, but decided that neither the mule nor the well was worth the trouble of saving. Instead, he called his neighbors together and told them what had happened, and enlisted them to help haul dirt to bury the old mule in the well and put him out of his misery. At first, the old mule was hysterical. But as the farmer and his neighbors continued shoveling the dirt and it hit his back, a thought struck him. It dawned on him that every time a shovel load of dirt landed on his back, he should shake it off and step up. This he did, blow after blow. Shake it off and step up. Shake it off and step up. Shake it off and step off up, he repeated to encourage himself. You know, no matter how painful the blows or distressing the situation seemed, the old mule fought panic and just kept right on shaking it off and stepping it up. Well, it wasn't long before the old mule, battered and exhausted, stepped triumphantly over the wall of that well. What seemed like it would bury him actually blessed him, all because of how he decided to handle his adversity. That's life. If we face our problems, respond to them positively, and refuse to give in to panic and bitterness or self-pity, the adversities that come to bury us usually have within them the potential to benefit and bless us. Remember, forgiveness, faith, prayer, praise, and hope are all excellent ways to shake it off and step up out of the wells of which we find ourselves. Remember, God's at work in your life, even when you don't recognize it or understand it. We like to be on the mountaintop. We like to have all of God's blessings, but sometimes we feel like the mountain is on top of us, like somehow God has forgotten where we are and forgotten what we need. I want you to know God never forgets. Sometimes he lets us be tested to see how our faith is doing. And so when we feel like maybe we're about to be defeated, that's when you need to turn to God and trust God and realize he's still working out his plan in your life. It's much easier and profitable when you cooperate with God. You know, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you're sure missing a lot out of life. I would encourage you, because the Bible says today is the day of salvation. I would encourage you to this day, if you don't know Christ your Savior, to repent, to confess your sins to Him, to ask Him to be your Savior. Ask Him to allow you to be part of His family and have your name in His book of life. And if you already know Jesus as your Savior, but you've been discouraged, you think that maybe you're getting buried in something, don't forget to, shake it off and step up and trust God, because God is still right there and God is still blessing. Let's have a word of prayer. Dear Jesus, I pray that you help each one that's listening to this podcast today to realize we can be victorious. We don't have to be buried by our problems, but we can bring our problems to you, and you always have the answer. You always have the strength we need. You always promise you'd never leave us or forsake us. And so, Father, I thank you so much that we can trust in you and that we can get victory in our lives through Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, I want to say I'll be preaching, Lord willing, I'll be preaching at the First Baptist Church here in Holbrook tomorrow. And I would encourage you, if you're in the area, come into church. I'm going to be talking about walking in the old paths. I never use the same sermon on the podcast that I do in the church service, because people listen to both, and you want something different and fresh. Anyhow, the services at First Baptist Church Sunday School is 9:45, morning worship 11 o'clock, and I would encourage you to come. I think you would enjoy yourself. We'd enjoy having you there. And then we do have a Bible study on Sunday evenings at 6 o'clock, and during that, we're studying Elisha, and we'll be in 2 Kings chapter 8 tomorrow evening. And it's always exciting to find out how God worked with his people through all these centuries. God bless you. Hope to see you soon, and I'll be praying for you. If you have something that you want to talk to me about, don't forget, my mailing address is Box 4031, Sun Valley, Arizona, 86029. My phone number is 623-845-2741. If you'd like to call and talk, if you'd like to text me, whatever, if there's any way I can be of service and we can pray together to God and God will give the answers, let me know. God bless you. We'll talk to you later.